back to another episode of the Envision Tech Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Paul Gagan, and this week we're going to be talking about demystifying the WebCAG guidelines. So, if you haven't heard of these guidelines, well, let's talk about what they actually are, I suppose, to get started here. So, the WebCAG guidelines, as you may hear them called, which I find a little bit hard to say, so from here on out, I'm going to refer to them as the WCAG guidelines. They are essentially a set of guidelines that help ensure that things on the web are accessible. And we'll talk more about them and what exactly they mean, etc., in a little bit. So these guidelines are actually, they were created by W3C. And if you don't know what that stands for, it stands for the World Wide Web Consortium. And if you are familiar with the, you know, web development industry or anything like that, you have probably heard of them because they are the people who set the standards for pretty much everything when it comes to the web, or at least a lot of things. That is essentially their purpose, is to set standards for the web to make it a better place. At least that's the hope. And the WCAG guidelines are actually a set of international guidelines, and they have actually become the standard for web accessibility since they've been introduced. So I've mentioned this before, but I always like to mention it again. Number one, because if you heard those episodes, you may have forgotten. Or number two, you might be a new viewer coming across this episode. So why exactly is accessibility important? Well, over a billion people in the world have some form of a disability. So even just from a logistical standpoint, that's, you know, one in, I think, eight people. That's a lot of people. If you can grow your user base by, you know, essentially one in eight. So if there's eight people using your app and now there's nine, or if there's 8,000, now there's 9,000, whatever. That's a pretty big deal, you know. It's important to obviously capture that user base, but it's also just morally important because if one in eight people go to your website and they can't use it, that's honestly just not acceptable. Even if it was one in 100, it still wouldn't be great, you know, but one in eight, that is a lot of people. I said over a billion people in the world. So my estimate of one in eight is actually probably a little bit lower than the actual number. It's also just legally required in some countries, whether it be the Americans with Disabilities Act or here in Ireland, in the EU, actually, there's quite a few guidelines and things that have come out for government bodies and sort of public entities like colleges and things like that to ensure that their web presence or, you know, whatever it might be, actually is accessible to everybody because it's really, really, really important. As I mentioned before, there's a lot of myths about accessibility, about it being too expensive, and that just honestly isn't true anymore, especially if you consider it from the start, which you should be doing, and that it only benefits a small group of people. I mean, I already kind of covered that, like over a billion people. That's not particularly small in my opinion. So yeah, really important to keep all these things in mind throughout the episode, that accessibility is really important, not just for me, you know, because it is important for me, but it's important for me plus a billion other people. It's also just a morally good thing to do, and it's legally required in quite a lot of places now. So even if you yourself aren't necessarily, you know, too interested in accessibility, you have to be, you know, and that's just the reality of the situation now. So the WebCAG guidelines actually have a couple of core principles, right? So, and these are important to understand as you, number one, read the guidelines yourself, and even just as we go through this episode. These are the core concepts that the WCAG guidelines kind of revolve around. So the first one here is perceivable, right? So essentially that just means that the content must be presented in a way that could be seen by users with sensory impairments. Examples of that are things like alt text for images and captions for videos. So when it says perceivable, it doesn't necessarily mean that you can visually see it. it means that it is perceivable and like findable by everybody. So any content on your page, I should be able to access it no matter what it is. If it's just some text, if it's a video, if it's an image, if it's a PDF, whatever it is, it should be quote unquote perceivable to me. And that right there is a really important one, in my opinion, perhaps the most important one, because honestly, if you follow like a lot of the other ones, but don't follow the perceivable sort of core principle, then I mean, there's not really much point in a lot of the other ones. It's great if I can navigate, you know, between the different images and videos on your page. But, you know, if they don't have alt text and audio description, or, well, not all videos need audio description, to be fair. But if they don't have it, then it doesn't matter that I can navigate to them, to be quite honest. So then guideline number two, that is operable. And I mean, as the word kind of implies, you should be able to operate the website, if you will. So the UI and the actual navigation of the interface should be operable, if you will, by users with motor impairments, and I mean just for everybody. So for example, if the user is visually impaired, they might be navigating with a keyboard, so they should be able to navigate your website. When I press tab, it should move me to the next link or the next button or the next clickable thing, essentially. If I press H, for example, there should be a heading on the page so I can navigate to. There should be sufficient timeouts on the page, things like that. There are a lot of, obviously, subpoints to these, but essentially, I should be able to navigate your website. And if I can't, then you don't meet that principle. And again, really important. I feel like I said it's not quite as important as the first one, because even if you have this one, it doesn't really matter if I can't read the content, but still really, really, really important. Now, the next point here is understandable. So the information and the user interface must be understandable. There should be clear and simple language and consistent navigation. So this is important for accessibility, but honestly, it's important for any website. And if it takes, you know, these core guidelines to tell you these things, you know, you might have more to rethink than just accessibility. Because if the language on your website isn't clear, if the icons for the buttons on your website aren't clear, that's more than just accessibility. That's just bad design at that point. And making sure that the navigation is consistent as well, I mean, again, that's just basics, you know? If I go, let's say I go to your homepage for your website, and on there, there's a nav bar, right, at the top of the page, and there's a home link, like blog link, and an about link. That's all good. And then your logo's at the top in the middle. I click on, you know, the about page, and oh wow, now the nav bar is at the bottom of the page. You know, and we go to the blog page, and now it's at the left side of the page. And yeah, like, you know, every page I go to, it moves around and it's different colors and it's whatever. You know, that's obviously bad. It's bad for accessibility, especially for me as somebody who is using a screen reader. If your nav bar moves, I don't necessarily know where it's gone. So it might be great that you have it visible down the bottom, but it doesn't really matter to me if I can't tell where it is. And obviously there's more examples than just that, but I mean, it's, I feel like, pretty obvious why these things are important in general, not just for accessibility. The last core principle here is robust. So for this, it means the content should be robust enough to be interpreted by a wide range of user agents. So for example, screen readers and other assistive technologies. So let's say I'm navigating through your website with my screen reader. I should get the same amount of information and essentially the same experience as somebody who might be using a magnifier, for example, to kind of zoom in on the page, or somebody who's maybe using like a high contrast mode. Again, it should be the same experience. Your website should be robust and should stand up to these different tools, you know, and different settings, essentially. And again, I feel like this is just important in general, but yeah, I mean, it makes sense, right? no matter what I'm using to access your website, I should essentially have the same experience. Now that we've gotten the core principles out of the way, so if you haven't come across the guidelines before, then you may not know that there are different levels, essentially, that you can meet. So, they're called conformance levels. And there's a few of them. There's A, there's AA, and AAA. And these essentially tell you how well your website might be doing, or whatever web content is doing in terms of accessibility. And these are really important because they can show whether you're just meeting the bare minimum or whether you're really putting effort into your accessibility and making sure that everybody can use it. And they can be really useful for understanding how you're actually doing as well. So the first level that we're going to cover here is A, and this is the lowest level of conformance that you can have. So this means that you have the minimum level of accessibility on your website, essentially. So you have addressed the most critical accessibility barriers. So if you have an A as your score, it does not mean that your website is not accessible. It means that you have addressed the most important accessibility barriers, but that you could be doing better. So this is essentially required for basic accessibility. So for somebody who might have a disability to use your website, you need to at least have an A. If you don't, then it is quite likely that you are leaving out those billion people that we talked about earlier. Some of the examples to meet this criteria are having alt text or images, which is, again, basic. If an image doesn't have alt text, somebody with a screen reader can't tell what it is. Using appropriate HTML elements. So using headings, right? So having a H1 or a H2, or using lists to actually display items. Instead of just putting bullet points on the page, actually using HTML lists, essentially, is what I mean by that. Ensuring sufficient contrast between the foreground and the background. So obviously this is really important if somebody's colorblind or maybe they have some sort of visual impairment and they go onto your website, you need to have good enough contrast for them to be able to see what's actually on the page. So I mean, these are some of the examples of the essentially most basic things that you can do to make your website accessible. And honestly, all of those are super easy. So I don't want to hear people saying, oh, it's too expensive. Oh, it's not for enough people. If you can't add headings to your page, add alt text to your images, and make sure that people can read your text, you probably shouldn't be making a website, you know? And that's something I probably wouldn't have said a couple of years ago, but it's true. You know, if you can't do those basic things, which are truly basic, you know, they are HTML 101, you know, if you can't do those, then honestly, you might want to look at where you're at currently and say, okay, maybe I need to learn a little bit more before I decide to go ahead and make a website. And if you're a big company, there's no excuse. And honestly, you just need to do better. Now, this next level that we're going to talk about is AA, or the AA level. So this level will meet the needs of most users with disabilities. So you've gone beyond removing the basic barriers, like adding alt text and headings to your website. For this one, you've put a bit more effort in and you've made sure that most people can now access your website. So this obviously includes all the criteria from the level before. So you still need to have alt text on your images, your headings, your lists, your color contrast, etc. But there are a few extra requirements for this one. Now, this level is also usually considered the industry standard. So if you are at AA, then in general, people would say that you have done enough work here to consider yourself, you know, good. Essentially, this is a good level of accessibility. And obviously, if you can get to AAA, it's even better. But I'll give you a couple of examples of how you can get to AA before we get on to AAA. So for this level, if you will, you need to have audio descriptions for pre-recorded videos, which if you don't know what audio description is, I realize I've mentioned it once or twice now. And if you're new to the podcast, you may not have heard of it. Essentially, what it is describing a video, right? So if you go onto Netflix right now and you pick a popular show, right? Let's just say I don't know, let's pick Friends, right? That's a very popular show from the 90s, if you haven't heard of it. And if you go on there right now and you go and look at the different languages available, one of them will say, for example, English audio description. And obviously, audio description is available in other languages too. I speak English, so that's what I'm talking about. But yeah, so, and what that does is when you switch to that language, it will actually have a narrator who describes what's going on. So when the actors themselves aren't talking, and sometimes when they are, if it's really important, the narrator will be describing what the characters are doing. And that is a requirement for this level. So if you want to get to AA, you do need to have audio description. So this one is also ensuring keyboard accessibility. So, okay. So often have I tried to open a pop-up on a page, right? And I can't really get to it. Like when I click the button, the pop-up opens, but it doesn't bring me to it. And I might be able to get there myself. You know, I might be able to find a way to get there. Sometimes I can't. But in order to have this level, you need to make sure that when I'm navigating around with a keyboard, I navigate around properly. When I press a button that opens a dialogue, I need to be brought to the dialogue. When I'm tabbing around the page, everything that I should be able to click on, I can click on, you know? It's basic things like that that can get you to this level of accessibility. So, also, allowing people to adjust time limits. So, often on websites, there will be a time limit for you to complete a task or, you know, whatever it might be. You should allow users to extend that timeline. For one reason or another, they may need longer to do it. For example, me with a screen reader, it takes me much longer to complete a task on a website that I'm not familiar with because I don't know where any of the buttons are or any of the text fields are to fill out or anything like that. You know, if you say, okay, well, we've sent you a code to your email, you have 30 seconds to enter it or else you're not going to be allowed to make an account. Turns out I'm probably not making an account because I have to open my email, I have to find the email, I then have to find the code in the email because it's not just instant. I can't just look down and see, oh, there's the code. I have to scroll line by line through your email and every email is different. Sometimes they have the code on a line by itself. Sometimes it's in the middle of a line of text. Sometimes it's in an image, etc., etc., etc. And then I have to copy that code. Unless you sent me a text, in which case I probably can't copy it if I'm on my computer. I then have to like navigate through it character by character and then type it into the text box. And then I have to find the like submit or verify button, whatever it might be, and then click that. By the time I've done that, 30 seconds are probably gone. Let's be real here. That's probably going to take me more than 30 seconds. So making sure that I can extend that time in some kind of way is really, really, really helpful. And those are a couple of examples, anyway, of how you can meet the AA level of conformance. The last level of conformance here is AAA, as you may have guessed at this point. So this is the highest level of accessibility that you can reach according to the WCAG guidelines. So this will have addressed the needs of individuals with the most severe disabilities. So this is addressing the minority of the minority, essentially. Obviously, people with disabilities, we are a minority. And then, you know, in that minority, there is another minority where those users will have more additional needs than maybe just basic screen reader navigation and alt text and color contrast. Sometimes it may not be achievable to actually reach this level due to technical limitations. Sometimes costs can be a bit of an issue here as well, depending on the exact website or whatever it is that you're making. So I will say that it can be hard to reach this level. It is the best way to ensure, however, that everybody can use your website. So some of these, some of the criteria that you have to meet for this, for example, are real-time captions for live audio. Now, that is hard, okay? That is hard. And it is getting easier with AI, and as that gets better, honestly, there won't be any excuse to not have that anymore. But right now, having live captioning isn't something that is within reach of every company or every individual. if you're just setting up a basic, you know, website where you're going to have some kind of live video feed or whatever, you might not be able to afford to have live captioning on that. And, you know, I understand. That is okay, you know? These are things that I don't want to say that the individuals shouldn't be concerning themselves with. These are things for bigger companies usually to be concerned with. Honestly, Google, for example, should be meeting AAA. Any website they have should be AAA. If you're just making your own blog and you don't make AAA, that's okay. If you can do it, great. But some of these things I said are a bit hard. Like live captioning is not something that everybody will have access to. I said soon with technologies like AI, it will definitely be achievable, but it is a little bit difficult at the minute. Ensuring compatibility with assistive technologies. There are many types of assistive technology here, and I'm not really going to get too far into this because, again, these can get quite complicated. But ensuring that your website works with every type of assistive technology can be quite difficult. And this one I feel like is a bit more achievable than live captions for most people. Because honestly, if you're not making your website too complicated, you can probably achieve this without really trying. And I shouldn't really say that, but without putting in too much extra effort. You know, it's just about following, I mean, really the basics. You know, again, just ensuring that your HTML is structured properly, that your website layout makes sense. And yeah, those do, you know, fall under some of the previous levels, but they will help you achieve some of the goals in this level as well. Offering alternative content for complex audio and video. So, for example here, you might have a transcript instead of a video. Or you might have, I don't know, even CAPTCHA, right, is an example of this. Sometimes they'll have an audio challenge instead of a visual challenge, right? But sometimes they don't, which is ridiculous. Like, how am I supposed to use your website? I can't tell you which images have cars. But let's say I was blind and deaf, and I was coming onto your website, and I could pick a CAPTCHA or an image challenge. And I was using what's called a Braille display, which, if you haven't heard of it before, it's essentially a device that will let you read what's on a computer screen, but in Braille. It has like little raisable dots that move up and down as the content on the page changes. I wouldn't be able to complete that CAPTCHA challenge, or I wouldn't be able to watch the video, even if it had audio description or captions or whatever. I wouldn't be able to sort of, I don't want to say enjoy it, but I wouldn't be able to experience that. So having things like transcripts can help you meet this level and can help you make your website accessible to those users. So I said it might not be achievable for some companies or even certain types of content to meet AAA conformance. For example, YouTube, right? It would be kind of hard for YouTube to meet AAA conformance. Now, again, Google honestly should be able to do it. I'm just picking them as an example. But having live captioning and audio description on everything is quite hard, given that it's user-generated content. That's not all uploaded by Google. And now, I believe there are captions on videos just by default now. And I know that some like podcasting services like Apple Podcasts and stuff generate transcripts for the podcasts. They probably use AI for that, I'm pretty sure. So there are definitely some workarounds for this and companies that are doing it. But it can be a little bit difficult, especially if you are a smaller company or an individual. Those are all of the levels of webcam conformance, and you can kind of see there how they do get a bit more complicated, but even the AAA level is definitely achievable. At least some of the guidelines in there are definitely achievable for most people. You know, most people can probably write a transcript for a video, or, you know, whatever it might be. Obviously, some common kind of problems people have is things like color contrast, as we mentioned earlier. Making sure that you use tools that can check the color contrast is really important. And there's loads. There's extensions for Chrome. There's actual websites where you can go and enter in the color codes that you're using or whatever it might be. Even, you know, that's helpful, obviously, if you're making images and things like that. Obviously, having alt text. And alt text is very handy, but there is good and bad alt text. Number one, you can give too much information in alt text, in a way, anyway. So let's say I want to look, well, I want to go to your website, right? And on your homepage, there is an image telling me about a promotion on your website. I want you to tell me about the text in that image. If you want to give me a bit of context or tell me a bit about the background or whatever else is in the image, that is great. But what is the focus of that image? It is the text. So writing good alt text for that would be putting the focus on the text. So that way I know what the promotion is, I know how to get the promotion, and then you can include a little bit about the rest of the image if you want. And that is important to keep in mind. What is the point of the image? And if the image is purely decorative, you don't need to necessarily give it alt text. That is acceptable. Now, if it is decorative, but it is part of the website. So let's say you had a blog, right? And on your homepage of your blog, you had a picture of your cat. It would be nice to have some alt text on there, right? To tell us about your cat and maybe what they're doing, you know, what they look like, what color are they, etc. So it is important to consider the importance of the image. Is it relevant to the actual page itself? And what is the focus of the image? Because that's what the alt text should focus on if you need to write some. Obviously, keyboard accessibility. As I mentioned earlier, if a pop-up opens, I need to be able to get to it. If there's something that I'm supposed to be able to click, I should be able to get to it and it should be clear that it is clickable. Obviously, having a proper HTML structure for your website, having a footer, like a main section for your page, and a header for your page, which is not the same as a heading, very similar words, I know, but a header is the part that is at the top of the page, usually, and that is where things like the logo are, maybe the name of the page, your nav bar, your login button, your sign up button, things like that. They go in the header. A heading is usually used to kind of indicate a section or a subsection of a page. So, for example, I go to your about page. You have a heading that says about me, right? And that's, let's say, a heading level one. And the smaller the number, the less important, if you will, like the more of a subheading that it is. So then under your heading level one, you have a heading level two that says like my education. And then under there, we have some text. And then we have a heading level two that says like my job experience, right? And then under there, we have some text. So those two heading twos now break up that section that is the about you section, if that makes sense. And then you can have heading level threes, fours, fives, and I think six as well. Usually you would really only see heading one, two, and three. And that's usually generally all you need unless you're doing something particularly complicated. But using headings, and obviously actual button elements, links, lists, dialogues, etc. There's a lot of examples for these sorts of things. Obviously, going back and fixing these problems after the fact is, you know, it's fine, but it's way better if you can integrate it into the development process. So actually incorporating accessibility into your design is really important. So from the start, considering how you can make it accessible. Obviously, there are a bunch of different tools that can help with this. So there are things like the Chrome DevTools, Wave, and it's AXE or Axe, I guess is how you should be saying that technically, which can help you kind of check the accessibility of your website. I said there are also a lot of like Chrome extensions and things like that for checking color contrast. There's automated testing tools, which can help you make sure that your website is accessible and can run different like tests and things on it. So a few of those are PA11Y and Axe Core. So those will kind of help you when you are, you know, making a change on your website, essentially making sure that you are still conforming to certain standards. Obviously, user testing is the most important thing in the world. It is great if you get to, you know, AAA accessibility. That is fantastic. But what's way more valuable is somebody actually trying out your website. Like me as a screen reader user, I would much rather you take 10 minutes out of your day to have a meeting with me, ask me to check out your website, give you some feedback, and you just implement those changes, then spend months and months and months implementing all these different things, spending all this time and money on getting to AAA conformance. I go to your website and I'm like, yeah, it's all right. You know, there could be a few more headings. There could be blah, 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 whatever, you know. So users are essentially the most important part of testing. You can spend all the time and money you want on everything else, but if the users don't have a pleasant experience, then it doesn't matter. Obviously, accessibility is really important, as I mentioned. From a legal standpoint, there is the Americans with Disability Act. There is a lot of different guidelines and directives here in Europe now. I'm sure there's more around the world, but it's really important now. And it's just good, as I said, for expanding the market that you can reach. You know, and even older adults, right? I'm sure, right? You know somebody who has probably gotten older and has, you know, gotten worse eyesight. Right, even you. Let's say you're the creator of Netflix. You started Netflix, you did the design, did whatever. And 20 years later, your vision's getting kind of bad and you're like, wow, you know, how am I supposed to enjoy these movies anymore? You know, if you had considered adding audio description at the start when you were originally kind of proposing Netflix, then there'd probably be a lot more things that you could enjoy. You know, obviously, like hearing and stuff can get worse with age too, etc., etc., etc. So, yeah, again, it's not just people who, you know, were born with disabilities. People can, like, I don't want to say get disabilities, but you know what I mean. Obviously, you get older, you might be in an accident, anything could happen. Obviously, accessibility benefits all users. It creates a much more inclusive and user-friendly experience. If the language on your website is more understandable, that is better for everybody. If it is clear what that icon does on your website, that is better for everybody. If there is better color contrast, again, that is better for everybody. I mean, essentially, you might need to, you know, invest some money, let's say, into making your website more accessible. But given that you will be allowing more people to use your website, it will actually essentially be an investment. As I mentioned earlier, you'll be investing that money. It won't just be spending money, because you're going to invest that and you're going to get a return on it over time too. It's not just a one-time payback that you're going to get. It is going to be constant. If you make sure that 10% more people can access your website, you will make 10% more money forever. No matter what happens, you will make that 10% money, and that is it. Obviously, there are a lot of online resources, such as the WCAG guidelines. There's WebAIM, there's obviously W3C themselves have a lot on accessibility. If you're looking for learning about accessibility, MDN has a lot on it if you're a developer. Etc. There is a lot. There's a lot of accessibility communities online. Obviously, if you're on LinkedIn, you could follow people on there who are involved in accessibility, etc. Obviously, continuous learning, really important as well. Staying up to date on the best practices. I said, even, you know, following people on LinkedIn who might post about accessibility. Then, you know, if the guidelines change, they'll probably do a post about it and you'll say, oh, wow, actually this guideline has changed, so I need to change this. Or, oh, this guideline has changed, so now actually my website is considered more accessible. Really, really, really important. That is essentially it for this episode. Obviously, if you have any questions, feel free to leave them in the comments or reach out to us directly, and we'd be more than happy to hear from you. If you have any suggestions for future episodes, obviously let us know as well if you'd like to hear us cover something more. And again, as always, thank you for listening. This has been the Envision Tech Podcast. I've been your host, Paul Gagan, and I will talk to you all next week.